The question of refugees is on the minds of a lot of government officials and government ministers and the Taoiseach Micheál Martin this morning, because we're in a situation seemingly sort of out of nowhere that we've run out of all sorts of room, or all room, for refugees coming in to the country. Refugees of any nation, any country. And at the moment, we're seeing reports this morning, and the news broke yesterday evening, of the situation with regards to refugees being in chairs at Dublin Airport. Around 250 women and children had to remain at Dublin Airport yesterday, and that some had to sleep on a bare floor. Lucky to get chairs, it seems to be the situation. New arrivals fleeing the war in Ukraine are staying at the old terminal building at Dublin Airport, as there are no spaces available in state-provided accommodation for refugees or those from other countries seeking refuge. And one wonders where that will go from there. We'll be talking about that in a moment, but if you have a view on it, get in touch with us on the show. And the problems are mounting up for this government. The coalition partners not happy this morning. They might have been buoyed a little bit by the number of votes they comfortably passed their motion of confidence by in the Dáil yesterday. Today's the final day of the Dáil term before it hits for the summer recess. But support for the coalition has had a sharp decline. Satisfaction with government has slumped, with their overall rating falling by 12 points, dropping from 43% in April to 31% today. That's a huge drop, 12-point drop in just 3 months. It's the latest poll by the Irish Times, Ipsos MRBI poll, the lowest rating the government has received in 2 years. In the wake of the rising cost of living, Fine Gael has hit a record low itself, falling by 4 points and leaving the party with its lowest rating in a series of Ipsos polls since 1994. Fianna Fáil has seen a drop of 3 points, declining by 20% since the last poll that occurred in April, whereas Sinn Féin has hit a record high, rising to 36%. So that's the situation with regards to that. Give us your views on it, 066 712 3666. Back to the refugees I mentioned there earlier. Mick Clifford is correspondent with the Irish Examiner newspaper covering this story. Mick, good morning to you.
Morning, Jerry.
I said at the start there, you know, we knew there was pressure on the system. Anyone who's going around Kerry or anyone who lives in any town in Kerry knows from hotels and guest houses the numbers that have been coming in, how hard it can be to get accommodation, the prices that have gone up as a result of that. We were told it would come to a situation, but it seems to have happened rather quickly. Has it caught the government by surprise, the fact that there are people now sleeping on floors in Dublin Airport?
I think it might have, Gerry. Like, in one way, it probably shouldn't have, because you might remember at the outset of the war in Ukraine, there were projections that we would have upwards of 40,000 by around Easter. Now, that should have meant that there had been preparations. I suppose you have to take into account, at that time, the war in Ukraine looked like it was going to be a war all over Ukraine, since it's been confined largely to this Donbass region. So maybe that's why they took the eye off the ball, because we're now in July and it's around now we have reached about 40,000. So it seems it took them a bit by surprise that, but on top of that, in recent weeks, we've had an increase, I think, in arrivals here, both from the Ukrainian war and from the general people coming from largely developed countries, but not exclusively. Some are coming from Georgia, the traditional countries where asylum seekers arrive here from, you could say. So there's been an increase in both. I suppose they're being attributed to two separate factors. One, things are changing a bit in terms of what you might call the welcome for Ukrainian refugees in some European countries. And two, there's a suggestion that the policy of the British government in terms of sending asylum seekers to Rwanda, it now has the spillover that people who arrive in the UK simply head across to the north and come down here and claim asylum here. It's not clear how much is attributable to that, but at the moment there certainly is a belief that a fair amount of the increase is as a result of the UK's policy in that respect.
And that policy hasn't even been put into place yet. But
exactly. It's all to do with expectation and fear.
Yes. Yeah, that it's not Britain no longer a welcome or warm place for people seeking asylum.
Exactly. I mean, to the extent that, and when we say Britain, I mean, to be fair, let's be straight about Brexit and all that flowed from it was largely an English nationalistic project. If you look at Scotland, they currently have, I think, over 5,000 Ukrainian refugees. They're due to take in another 18,000. They will exceed the combined number of refugees being accommodated in England, Scotland and Northern Ireland. So, you know, to be fair to the Scots, you'd have to say they're doing their bit to that extent, but there's a very different policy in England at the moment in that regard.
We're learning this morning as well, tents will be erected on the grounds of City West in Dublin as the country has run out of state-provided accommodation for the asylum seekers and for Ukrainian refugees as well. Mick, we're hearing about the Kilkenny hurlers on a maybe a less important thing than people fleeing war, of course, not being able to have a banquet in Dublin, win or lose on Sunday because City West is gone. We're seeing this factor. Now City West is going to have tents put on top of it. Where is this going to go?
Yeah, I mean, I saw a headline yesterday, Gerry. Kerry and Galway secure hotels for the All-Ireland. I mean, do you know what I mean?
The fact that it was newsworthy in the first
exactly.
place.
Exactly, they had to secure it like that. Once upon a time, well, it used to be out in Malahide, the Kerry team would say, but once upon a time, they had the choice of wherever they wanted to stay, there'd be people owing them. But you're right, that's an indication. Where's the content? I don't. The government are meeting today, the Taoiseach and his ministers, but you would have to think, in some capacity, they're going to have to do something to stop the flow. Now, how you do that is highly, highly sensitive. If you have to do that, and as of now, it would seem you have to, unless you keep erecting tented cities like the one in Gormanstown, County Meath, that's going to open, and as we report in the Examiner today, they're going to open in the City West as well. But if you take what you might call a less welcoming attitude, then who do you decide that you continue to extend a welcome to, and to whom not? Like, for instance, there's some talk of people saying that there's some people coming here who are not necessarily fleeing anything. Well, that may well be the case. They're fleeing poverty, but that's neither here nor there. That may well be the case, but how do you determine what's a genuine case other than going through the process that all asylum seekers currently go through? So it's a very sensitive topic, but at the same time, just purely in terms of being able to put a roof over people's heads, that they have something to sleep on at night, yeah, we're getting to a crisis point.
And we're at a situation then whereby you're wondering, how much is this going to cost? How much longer will it go on for? The war in the Ukraine has turned into a real grind in the east of the country. Russia, as of yet, seems to be digging in and looking to extend it, if at all possible. So if you have another 6 months of this, it will have an impact on the state coffers as well, I'd imagine, Mick.
It will. Now, the one thing I would say, the one straw in the wind in regard to Ukraine, I don't know how relevant it might be to us, but in Poland, where I think up to 2 million people went there, I think they have a population of about 40 million, but I think there are 2 million refugees there. In recent weeks, more Ukrainians have been going back across the border than coming into Poland. So now, taking into account, obviously Poland is a breaking point in one respect, but is that an indication that some people have arrived at a point where, if they're not directly affected, as you say, in the east of the country, are they deciding that they want to return home, which would be a perfectly natural thing to do? I suppose the only other impediment to people in that respect, is if they're out of the country, is do they think they're going home to a scenario whereby there's no proper functioning economy or they can earn a living or whatever? But
yeah,
that's a straw in the wind, possibly, but
yeah,
we could be waiting a while for that a movement of that sort to kind of take off,
yeah,
you know?
We were talking, Mick, as well, about the pull factor or the push factor, call it what you will, of people feeling that Britain is not the place to come to because of the threats of being deported to Rwanda while your asylum is being processed. But would there be a factor that, if, I suppose, people are sleeping in tents, people are sleeping on the bare floors of Dublin Airport, which has its own problems aside from anything else, that there may be, as time goes by, more of a push factor away from Ireland as a place to come to because we just don't have room anymore?
I think that could very well be the case. And I mean, it's not all sweetness and light even for those who are right here. I mean, Anne Lucy was writing in the Examiner during the week about the experience of Ukrainian refugees in South Kerry. I was down home there myself last month and I met some of them, and they're mad eager to work and that sort of thing. But they're stuck out, for example, I met some out in Ballinskellig's, you know, there's no public transport there. Where can they get work? Where can they contribute to society? Now, that's one example of hundreds like that around the country where they've been put in, understandably because of the emergency, anywhere that there is accommodation. But that doesn't necessarily lead to any kind of a satisfactory existence for people. So you could well see a scenario where they'll start getting fed up with that, entirely understandably too.
Yeah, certainly would. Mick, finally, look, this is another problem, another crisis that this coalition government have had to deal with. They have the cost of living crisis. They made it through the vote of confidence motion during the week. They were all happy with themselves for about 24 hours until we saw, and until they saw, the Ipsos MRBI Irish Times poll this morning showing really a cratering in their support of 12 points in the last 3 months. They're obviously heading off into the summer sunset for a while, but very worried, I'd imagine.
I would think so. No, to be fair to them, it doesn't matter, because what matters is public opinion and how people will vote. But looking at it some way objectively, three massive problems that they faced in the first 2 years of the government. The pandemic and the cost of living crisis, and the word has just slipped my mind. But all three are beyond their control. Sorry, the war in Ukraine, obviously. The one we were talking about. Mm. All three, to be fair, are completely, to a greatest extent, beyond their control. They're all problems that originated beyond these shores, and yet they are landed with them. One can take a view as to how well they've handled them, but I think in general, certainly in terms of the pandemic, it was relatively all right. They're on a sticky wicket now with the refugee crisis and trying to deal with that and the fallout and the cost of living crisis. I suppose people, they'll perceive certainly whether or not it's justified that they're more responsible for the cost of living crisis and how to grapple with it. But one way or the other, there's no doubt they're on a hiding to nothing at the moment.
Yeah, and aside from those three things you mentioned, is there a more fundamental, longer-term issue that this and the last government really failed to crack? And that is, you could say health always, it's always been there, but particularly the failure to make a dent or a serious dent in housing. Is that the underlying structural problem for them with the opinion of the Irish people as to whether they're doing a good job or not?
It is a huge problem. The one thing there is, it's a problem that will not be solved in a week, a month or a year. They claim, and it has to be worked out yet, but they claim that the differences they've made in terms of starts and construction is going to...
The tide is turning is what they're saying. What they're promising,
they're claiming that. Now, whether or not that is the case, one thing is sure, it is not certainly evident in the coalface of the whole thing, which is, for example, the price people are paying for rent, young people, and it is certainly not impacting on the growing divide in society between young and old, the young being the cohort that simply cannot afford to buy a home, or else are on a very long waiting list for a local authority home. And even though they claim to be doing something, the results are certainly not there yet.
Yeah, and the results for the people who are promising to do something about it are on the rise. Sinn Féin 36%, Mary Lou MacDonald up 1 to 43%, Micheál Martin down 11, Leo Varadkar down 12, Eamon Ryan down 4. They're all going the wrong way, Sinn Féin going the right way, because they're promising they will fix housing.
Exactly. And look, there's two things you can be assured of. Should, for example, Sinn Féin get into government, one, they will make a change. Two, the change will certainly not be anywhere near as profound or radical as they're claiming it will be. And then it's just a question of whether people believe that change that can be brought about and the promises that come with it, whether it's enough. But in a situation like this, if you have even a halfway competent opposition, and to be fair to Sinn Féin in terms of their main spokespeople, some of them are highly competent.
Yeah.
But if you have people of that caliber, you're definitely going to get popular while you're in opposition at a time like this. And then it'll be up to yourself to see if you can do the job if you get elected.
Yeah. Final brief point. These numbers, and look, they probably make it more likely, and certainly on behalf of the coalition, that they'll stick together and try and weather this out and try and get to the full term as a government. Whether they do or not, we don't know. But the rise in support for independents and smaller parties, you know, if the coalition figures don't improve enough to do it on their own, could we see a scenario in two and a half years' time where independents come back into the fold to try and make up the numbers for the main parties and form a government?
It's nearly impossible to predict, Gerry. I mean, you could flip it and say Sinn Féin's rise is such that could they get to a scenario where the only leg of the stool that they need in government
is, for example,
independence, and would they go into that? That's one thing. The second thing is, I'd be of the opinion that support for independence will fluctuate one way or the other. You have a lot of prominent independents at the moment who have certainly been feeling people's pain, if you want to put it that way, and perfectly genuine about it. So that would increase their popularity. But whether they want to go into a government is another issue, I would imagine, as well, because a lot of them are more comfortable and perhaps better served, as they see it, their constituents, by not being in government. But as of the general consensus would be at the moment is that what you likely have would be a Sinn Féin-led government with a smaller party. Now, whether they'd require a party the size of Fianna Fáil and what it's projected to be, or whether it would be a smaller party like, for example, the Social Democrats or even perhaps the Social Democrats and Labour, that would remain to be seen. But remember, the other side of that coin is Sinn Féin have been on a completely upward trajectory. Who knows how popular they're going to get, or whether they'll even come closer again to getting an overall majority. Or who knows what will happen in a year's time. Maybe we'll discover oil and the government will be highly popular and you'll know where things are going to go.
Yeah, you never know, anything's possible. Mick, we'll leave it there. Thanks a million for talking to us about that in the programme this morning.
Thanks, Jerry.
That's Mick Clifford there, Cara Sabine man, of course, correspondent with the Irish Examiner, and talking to us about that problem of the refugee crisis, which has led to people sleeping on the floors of Dublin Airport, tents being erected at City West, and other emergency measures having to be, I suppose, to be speeded up this morning. If you have a view on that and where we are with regards to it, get in touch with us in the show.